I think the most important thing to try to develop is some kind of habit. Do it at a regular interval, whether it's once a week or once a month, it doesn't matter, but at least try to develop a habit. People want it to be too good, you know what I mean? They want it to be perfect, or they are worried that it's not going to be original enough. Don't worry about that. Get it out there. It's not going to be good. That's the reality. Don't worry about being original. You're not going to be original. Everything you do starts with imitation. You know, if you know with kids, right? In the beginning, they just repeat you. And then at some point, they come up with their own jokes or their own words or their own. But in the beginning, it's all repetition. I try to write a lot of comments. And then when I see that a comment resonates, I try to think, okay, this is something that interests people or they find interesting. And then I make a big article out of it. Be genuine. And that's what I always try to do. I know that I sometimes have strong points of view. I call them spiky points of view. I learned that from Wes Kao. The big challenge is there's so many people in the Agile community, right? So there's this sea of opinions and noise. They're not noise, right? But I'm just calling it noise. Mm-hmm. So you need to stand out a bit. You need to have a bit of a spiky opinion, which is a bit of counterintuitive. And that's what I try to, like, I try to find in myself, like, these things which are a bit counterintuitive. And then I write about that, because otherwise you just drown out in the sea of noise. And the most important thing I try to do is, and I'm not going to say I always succeed, right? But this is what I really try to do, is be genuine. I don't try to write clickbait articles. I don't try to write stuff, you know, that people feel tricked. It's really something I really, really believe. I have the feeling that people feel that. People appreciate that. And you do the same. Your videos are fun. That's how I would describe them. You try to inject them with fun. If I would describe your brand, I would say you're about, like, making Agile fun.
Hi, I'm Maria, and this is the Agile State of Mind. Welcome, and welcome to the Agile Conversations, where I talk personal branding with Agile people. And today, as you see, I have with me Martin Dalmine. Hi, Martin.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you back. I feel like we are podcast pals, you know?
Yeah. No, it's really great to be here. I really loved our previous episode, so...
Me too. For those who don't know who Martin is a product leader, but very popular one, especially if you go to LinkedIn, you will find Martin on LinkedIn. And very soon, Martin will release his first book on sprint goals that we are all waiting for, and that I had the honor and privilege to read before everybody else. And I'm really excited about that book. Where is the release, Martin?
It's going to be in August, half of August somewhere. Yeah, I don't know exactly when it's going to arrive in the warehouse, but it's all looking good.
Cool. So in the vacation. So we have whoever goes for vacations, you have a vacational read. Since I have read it already, I just want to say that for me, it's great, even though the title says it's a book about sprint goals, it's so much more than that. And one thing that I took, especially because Martin is actually, you are explaining a lot about Scrum, what is Scrum and what actually is the essence of Scrum and not just the practices or the theory of Scrum. Like, why should we do Scrum? But there is also this part of scaling Agile that I loved. And I was actually very surprised you didn't hate on SAFe too much there.
Well, not at all, actually, right? I didn't. It's not mentioned at all.
You didn't hate on anything. So that was great. But then since I had just recently, I posted a video on SAFe and like an explanation, a bit of what it is. I am thinking your book helped me so much to see through the framework, you know, and see that actually what we should do is use it as like, okay, here are some guidance. You have some guidance and you have some rules and it's a toolbox and you can just choose whatever fits and more focus on the company culture. I don't know. For me, it was like, you know, one of those moments when you have a breakthrough. I had that and I thought, oh my God, I would love to go back to the company that I used SAFe in and just like show them that now I know how to do it and how not to suffer.
Well, thank you. That's, I think, that one of the biggest compliments you can get as an author, right? I mean, if you write a book, you're hoping that when somebody reads it, they have this aha moment or this breakthrough. That's the dream that maybe happens once or with someone. So thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for putting it out there and helping us read through stuff. Because I think that's one of the things we will talk about personal branding today. And I would like to get to how you got to write a book and how you are actually promoting yourself and like doing the marketing for yourself as a brand or a product, because that's also very it's funny, you know, that especially as a product leader, you work with product and you also market yourself as a product. And that's so great that you share all that knowledge that you gained, and we can learn from it. And especially for me, it's important that we stop being so as if you go out of school and you learn all the rules and you think you have to obey and everything needs to be like in a box, because we are somehow taught this way. And now I read your book, I was like, okay, finally somebody told me like the why of the things. Why should we do this? It's not just to follow the rules, it's more to help and to provide better value, but to also not die in the intent, to enjoy your work, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, you posted about our talk on LinkedIn, and we got a lot of questions from the audience. So I will be also taking a look. I did some categorizing, and I will maybe share quickly that what I saw that people are interested about the branding is the channels that work best and that actually make sense to use. Then building a brand while full-time working for another company, which it was funny because people were like, yeah, you know, but they also want their brand to be on your profile, for example, right? And then you want also your brand. And then there is this evolution that people were asking, like, you know, that for sure it evolves how you market yourself and do marketing for yourself. Striking thing was, and that would be my first question, what do you actually, who are you? Like, how do you start? Because what was funny for me was that somebody, I think, asked, how do you build a brand as an agile coach, for example? Like, aren't you the brand? Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to be a different person?
Yeah.
You know? So that's my first question. Like, how do you even start? What was also your trigger to start creating MartinDalmine.com?
Yeah. So that's an excellent question. So I think the main thing for me was I was working in tech. I was like end 20s, beginning 30s. And I was thinking, how do I stay relevant? Because what I had seen is as we tend to get older, it's more difficult to get jobs, right? And I'm not saying I agree with that or that's fair. Like, I absolutely don't agree with that. But that's something I was worried about. And I was thinking, what can I do? Because I want to work my whole life. That was kind of the idea, right? And not because, I want to earn as much money as possible, because I think work is fun and it needs to be fun. Like, that's what I try to do at least. And I came to the conclusion, building a brand is a good way to do that, right? Because if you have a brand, that's something that isn't easy to obtain, but it also doesn't disappear quickly unless you do something really, really stupid like Donald Trump or whatever, you know? But yeah. That was kind of the main reasoning. What was your reason? Because you've also built a brand. So I was curious, what was your reasoning?
Yeah, I think the start was not even a brand, you know. Of course, I chose because I like to play with words. So I invented the Agile State of Mind because, of course, I love the New York State of Mind. But for me, I noticed that I was working in a very agile environment. And when I changed jobs, I saw that, that's not the usual. Because I was working with many teams, I started to have to explain the same thing over and over again. And I was like, maybe I will just like record it. And somebody told me that they have a friend who's a YouTuber and she's doing she's Chris Rua. She's actually doing a channel, but in Spanish for Latin America. And I was like, okay, I will try. And then this is perfect. I have a problem with a team. I record a video about it. And then when I have the same problem with another team, I can tell them something, but then I can share the video. And then my friends told me that they have the same. Maria, I have the same problem as you. And I just showed them. Like, you see? So it started like that. But then I noticed that, it makes sense. It gives you some advantage in the workplace for sure, because people recognize you. And it's easy to prove your value because you can just share your materials, your work, and they see that, well, you are not a fraud. You basically know what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. So what I think is interesting is, I think building a brand is something personal. Like your journey was different from, your trigger was different from mine. And as well, not only the trigger was different, I started writing, you started recording videos. And then that's, I think, what I would take away is, I mean, you enjoyed that, right? I assume. I mean, making the videos, I wouldn't,
yeah, I
like, I'm honest, right?
I don't hate my voice anymore.
There's another win. But that's the thing, right? I would hate making videos. That's because I've done it, tried it. I don't like it. I love writing, right? And I know you also write, right? But yeah. I think that's the most important thing. Do something, you know, that you can stick with, you know, that you enjoy doing. Because, yeah, your first channel, I think, if I may call it that way, the most important thing is that you can continue doing it over a long period of time. That's the most important thing. And if you want to write, but you cannot stick with it, then record videos. If you like talking, do a podcast. But yeah, that's my biggest advice I would give. Like, work with what works for you, what you enjoy, and start from there. And don't think about having the perfect channel. That's not what, that will come later.
Yeah, that's actually, I spoke last week with Chris Stone, you know, the retrospective legend from LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And he basically said the same as you just said, like, find your voice and then stick with it. So find something that you're passionate about enough to stick with it, because people sometimes tell me, Maria, you are consistent. You still have your channel. It's been 3 years. I think I just got like a notification from YouTube. 3 years of me doing something. It's like, wow, because people that know me, you know, I'm this typical person that starts something, has a motivation, and then like, well, I don't know. Don't feel like it anymore. So because I like it and because I still work in it, for me, it's a passion. And that's why probably I can stick with it, even being this kind of person who's not really very methodological in this. So I think that's a very good advice.
Yeah, I think we're the same. Like, the only reason I can keep doing it is because I love it. And if I wouldn't love it, it would have been like my relationship with the gym. I don't go nearly enough.
Yeah, that's funny. Do you have any tips for that? For like, because, you know, even though we love it, for example, I have those moments of, I just record one video a month and I'm like,
yeah.
And then I have like, yeah, I want to do it. I'm doing a couple a week. Do you have anything that helps you stick to it?
I think the most important thing to try to develop is some kind of habits, like do it at a regular interval, whether it's once a week or like once a month, it doesn't matter, but at least try to develop a habit. What works for me might not work for someone else, but what helps best for me is kind of what Chris Stone said. I write about stuff I really care about. I'm not good enough of a writer to write about stuff I don't care about. So there's not many things I don't write about. Like, I don't write about AI, I don't write about blockchain, because it doesn't really interest me. Even when there's some kind of hype going on, I don't write about it. I write about the stuff that interests me, and I think that helps a lot. And another obstacle I very commonly see is people want it to be too good. You know what I mean? They want it to be perfect, or they are worried that it's not going to be original enough. Don't worry about that. Get it out there. It's not going to be good. That's the reality. I say it's like making your first coffee, right? Like drip, 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 drip. It takes some time. You know, the first coffee is not going to be that great. You need to keep on putting those drips out there. And at some point you have got a perfect filter coffee, but that's going to take a long time. And yeah. Don't worry about being original. You're not going to be original. Everything you do starts with imitation. You know, if you know with kids, right? In the beginning, they just repeat you. And then at some point, they come up with their own jokes or their own words or their own. But in the beginning, it's all repetition. And then that's, yeah. Don't inject your own perspective. Like, if you tell a story from your childhood or something you've experienced in the workplace, it can't be anything but original, even if you explain a concept like story points that everybody knows already.
Oh, that's a relief, isn't it? To know that, well, don't try to be original, just be yourself. And yeah. What you said about the story, I remember, I realized later on that one of the things that I loved about your book when it comes to literature, you know, I studied literature. Yeah. And in the end, I love the story you share, and you always come back to the story. There is this, we spoke last time about this leitmotif. right? Yeah. That you get, and then you come back to it, and that sprint goals are like that in Scrum. And in your book, that story is that, and it's a story from your actually lived that.
Yeah,
that
experience, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not that such an original story, but people will remember it, you know, and exactly. Because the context makes it unique. So I assume you're referring to the story of being dropped, right, at Vlieland.
I just want to say so people can wait for it, you know?
Well,
makes
sorry.
Sense.
I'm not going to spoil
more. You
have
more. To read the book to know the story. Yeah, yeah, and I love that because that made the book, it distinguished it from all the other books that are just about practices and tools and help. Because they can be very dry, like you read them, like, yeah, I know. Okay, I can read like Confluence pages this way. And it's just made into a book. And that made such a difference for me. And that's great because that's your story. One of the things, one of like the greatest advice I recently read was when I also asked about, you know, the, hey, shall we hate safe or can I like it or will it be bad? And somebody was like, you do you. And then I thought about it because when I was in high school, I already had my Gmail and I had like a signature, you know, when you put something, and I had a quote there. And recently I found an email that I sent to somebody and I found that. And it said, I'm myself because nobody can be me better than me.
Yeah.
And, and you know, and then I was like, I was so white already in high school. It's just that it's like the only thing I can be best in being myself. Nobody can be myself better than I do. Let's just be us, right?
Yeah And that's what I think it's really important point, like be genuine. And that's what I always try to do. I know that I sometimes have strong points of view, you know, I call them spiky points of view. That's from I learned that from Wes Kao. Like, the big challenge is everybody, there's so many people in the Agile community, right? So there's this sea of opinions and noise. They're not noise, right? But I'm just calling it noise. Mm-hmm. So you need to stand out a bit. You need to have a bit of a spiky opinion, which is a bit of counterintuitive. And that's what I try to, like, I try to find in myself, like, these things which are a bit counterintuitive. And then I write about that, because otherwise you just drown out in the sea of noise. And the most important thing I try to do is, and I'm not going to say I always succeed, right? But this is what I really try to do is, be genuine. I don't try to write clickbait articles. I don't try to write stuff, you know, that people feel tricked. It's really something I really, really believe. And I have the feeling that people feel that, right? Like, people appreciate that because, yeah. And you do the same. Your videos are fun. Like, that's how I would describe them. You try to inject them with fun. If I would describe your brand, I would say you're about like making Agile fun. I don't know if I'm right, you know, but this is how I would view it.
Oh, I love it. I want that to be my tagline. Making Agile fun. But that's also about your style. I think your articles, if you have your tone, your style, you could know it's yours. And you also find a great metaphor. So I think for me, that's that. That's like making Agile images. You know, I see your stuff through images. I can imagine like, oh, I was there when the D-Day happened, or like when you had the, how was it called? The General's Intent?
Commander's Intent.
So I see those metaphors or those analogies, and I see like Agile in pictures.
It comes to life. Let's put it that way. In a way.
Yeah. And that's great because it really provides a unique point of view and a unique style. And that's probably why you can write a book and that will be a great book, because you have this style. Okay, now we spoke to each other about our great stuff mutually.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, go ahead. Continue.
To finish this first part about like starting, did you notice there were some kind of like checkpoints or feedback loops? Like, oh, I did a retro on myself and I thought I need to change this. Or do you have those moments of reflection or changing something that you were used to do something in this way, and then you thought, oh, actually, I wanted to do it in a different way?
Let me think about it. I'm not someone that has regular retrospectives or regular moments of reflection, but I do think, of course, I've evolved. I think what mainly happens is I get a lot of messages and a lot of comments, and I think about those. And it's not something I do at one moment. I do it all the time. And for example, sometimes I get a message from people that they thought like, hey, they didn't like this post for whatever reasons because I was being critical. Or so all these little moments are moments of feedback. And the biggest thing I've learned is I try to write a lot of comments. And then when I see that a comment resonates, I try to think, okay, this is something that interests people or they find interesting. And then I make a big article out of it. And then you have a bigger chance of success because that's the main thing, right? I write about what I find interesting, but I try to find this intersection about what readers find interesting. And sometimes what I find interesting is not what other people find interesting. So that's the main thing I've learned, like to kind of...
Yeah, that's the strangest thing, right? When you... I remember I had one video that's... And I was like, oh, that video? I thought it was such a stupid video. I think I should like actually delete it, you know? And then I went and I'm checking and that's the most seen video in my channel, the refining refinement. And I'm like, really? Why this one? Like, you will never know, right? Which sometimes you will think, oh, that was, I'm so smart in this one. And
nobody cares. I had that. I wrote an article.
Perfect metaphor. And people are like, so what?
Yep. Yeah, I wrote this article and I still love it. It's about the Dutch herring fishing and the relationship with theory of constraints. Nobody cares about that article. Nobody really. And I love it. I still love it. But nobody loves it except me. So yeah, I'm a poor judge.
I actually liked it. I learned a lot. But yeah. But that's the thing, like you can never know what will be successful. Yeah, the only thing, like, okay, I see that refining the refinement, so maybe making videos on refinement makes sense, but that's all you can do. So about the channels, what are your favorite channels and what are the channels that you actually see that make sense to use when you develop a brand?
Like I said, it depends on your stage. Like if you start, pick a channel that you can keep on going, like whether it's Medium writing or podcasting, so, or YouTube, like pick a channel and stick with it because that you're capable of sticking with. And then what I think will happen at some point, like imagine you're writing or you get traction and you're going to maybe get invited for a podcast or for, you know, and then it's going to happen naturally. That's kind of what I think. Like, don't be too worried about being in every channel. Like, I think it will happen naturally. And yeah, there are people that do everything, right? They do recording videos. Try it out. And if you like it, do it as well. But if you don't like it, you don't have to do it. You can be very successful with one channel. You grow that enough, the other channels are going to happen. Like people are going to invite you to podcast. You're going to be on YouTube. So that's the main thing. Like, don't worry. Like, you don't have to be in many channels. That's what I think. And if you don't like public speaking, you don't have to do that either, right? I do it and I don't really like it, but you don't have to do it either. You can still be very successful as well in building a brand. Yeah.
But do you have, because for me, for example, I use YouTube would be my main channel, but I also am pretty, probably people hate me already on LinkedIn because I'm always active there. Yep. So do you have any of those that you use just exclusively to gain followers or gain, let's say, reach?
LinkedIn, of course. Mm-hmm. Slack, you've got the various Agile channels. So you can share your articles there in your writing channel, Serious Scrum, Hands on Agile. Yeah, for the rest, do Substack, don't do Medium. Medium is dying. I don't know. Like, I think those are the main ones, like, to be honest. And
did you ever started a newsletter and like wanted to, or is Substack that? You,
well, Substack is the newsletter, and I had Ghost before. So Ghost is when you own it, and I had a newsletter. But yeah, you get way more traffic on Substack, like because they have other offers on Substack. They can recommend you, and then you get way more traffic than from Google. So yeah, I've got now like 6,000, I think, subscribers compared to 500 subscribers on Ghost in like, I don't know, 3 years.
I think in Substack, you don't know, right? Until you go to some stats, you don't know how many subscribers all the people that write there have, right?
Yeah, well, you can see it actually nowadays.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you go to someone and you try to register, they have this message, there are over 5,000 people already subscribed to this newsletter. So you can kind of get an order, idea of the order of magnitude.
Do you consider getting clarity on your target audience? Like, do you think it's necessary to know who you are talking to?
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's
a good one. So what I do is I read a lot. Like, so I'm a big reader. So I read many blog articles. Like I literally read like, I don't know, probably thousands of articles per year. Like, and I also post on LinkedIn. That means you know what's going on in the community. You know the kind of the topics. I think that helps a lot, like to know your readers by reading a lot, because yeah, and reading the comments. So that's kind of what I do. And then I think the main superpower that I have or something is that I still feel like an outsider to the community. You understand what I mean? Like, I don't feel part of the Scrum community. I don't really feel part of the product community. So I can kind of take this meta perspective where I kind of make fun of the Scrum community or the product community or Safe or whatever. And that's what I try to keep. Like, I don't try to be inside. I try to be outside, because then you can have interesting perspectives.
Yeah, interesting. And how do you deal with, because you have a lot of followers and a lot of, you know, when you post something, it gets hundreds of views. How do you have some kind of time management to deal with, like, now I will respond to comments or now I will post? Do you have like special timings for things?
No, I'm literally super unstructured. I don't even have a structure for what I post when. It also depends on how busy I am, right? So some of the things I did for a while and I stopped doing because I was too busy with my book was like every Wednesday I reposted an article, and every Friday I posted a meme, you know, like I made a meme making fun of something in the Agile world. Yeah. So that's kind of the thing what I try to do, but I'm not a big structured person, to be honest, where I have this task board. I'm very unstructured. And yeah, I don't know. That won't work for everyone. I think the main thing I can say is if I'm on the train and I have 15 minutes or 30 minutes, I can write something. And that's what I do. And that yeah.
Are you still on the train? Like, if you don't go to at work every day? Because that helps, then I'm still, right? Yeah, you still. Okay. No, because for me, I think when I started working from home, that a bit killed my structure and my routine, you know, because, I just saw that I have to clean the kitchen or whatever. And it really, I started doing some like exercise in the morning or going to CrossFit or something. So it gives me some structure. Like in the morning, I have to do everything. So I go there, then eat my breakfast. But I don't know if you have that the more busy you are, the more you can actually do, because you have to fit those things and you have to like, okay, now I can't just lie and think about stuff. I just have to do this. And you are like,
I don't know. I just came up with this saying in my head, but from perspiration comes inspiration. And I think there is some degree of truth to it, because kind of like, yeah, because you're doing all these things and those are like impulses. Like, I mean, you're having big room planning for 3 days and then you suddenly have a brilliant idea for big room planning. I don't think creativity exists in a vacuum. Like, you need outside influences, whether it's reading something or experience something, and that will trigger a spark. And if you're at home and you have too much time, then you won't have these outside like sparks happening that can ignite your own spark. And then
that's
why I think it happened. I don't think it has to do with being busy, but more that you have more sparks surrounding you.
Okay. Yeah, true. Might be that. Next topic is the building a brand while working full time. So, and I think that was partly what you were doing until some point, right?
Yeah, correct.
What are do's and don'ts? What, how much time you need for that?
Yeah.
How not to try too hard, you know?
I think you have to find what works for your situation. So I have two kids and a full-time job that takes a lot of time. And it's also a lot of fun, of course, right? But don't get me wrong. But the main thing I try to do is, and it was the only thing I did for sure, one article per week. I did that for many, many years. That's it. And that cost me in the beginning a few days per week. But ultimately, it cost me at some point like 4 hours per week. And at another point was like, I don't know, in 1 or 2 hours, I could write something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's, I think, it's kind of like when you go to the gym, right? First, you bench press, you can do nothing, you know? And then at some point, you can do, I don't know, 120 kilos or whatever. Yeah, that's the same thing. Like, stick out to it for a regular interval. You will become better and it will take less time. And that's the main thing I did, one article per week. And it's no rocket science. That's what worked for me. And yeah, I didn't sometimes that means saying no, not having a social life, you know, not prioritizing it. And that's what I did. So what worked for you?
I have this like in my head that usually on a Tuesday, I'm releasing a video in the morning. Yeah. So by Tuesday, I have to have it already done. You know, for me, it's like there are a lot of steps. And I think the longest step is to write it. Jeff Bezos was saying that good memos are written and rewritten, and then you stop, like put them to a stop for a moment and then come back and then see like, this, I shouldn't be saying this. And for me, it's really important to give myself that time. Like I write it and then I have to come back with fresh eyes to it. So that's the longest. So I'm trying to do that over the week and then get to closer to the weekend that I already have it recording. It's like just, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, and that's it. And then I have to edit it again. So you know, another time. So I just try to have like, I know when I have to have like my deadlines. By this time, I have to have this. By this time, I have to do that. I have this strange thing that I can't be like, people say, just write as much as you can and record them. And then you will be just like step by step, you know, After Effects and stuff. And I can't do that. It's so much for me to record it. It's only 2 hours, but it takes so much energy from me that if you told me to record something else, I would be like, you can't get that kind of level of energy from myself, like, you know? So yeah, that's how I do it. But I think it really makes sense what people say and what you wrote the other day, like just sit down. And people say, at the beginning, I couldn't have this order, you know, like I have to first clean my house and then I can sit down and write. And then you like push through this order. You just have to sit down.
Yeah. Right? And I think the main thing is do what works for you. Like every person is different. Every personality is different. So. Yeah, listen to others for inspiration on what to do, but find what works for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Coming back to the you do you.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, you know, talking about the habits, I can't really stress enough how great the Atomic Habits book is.
Yeah, that's a great book.
To also unlearn the habits you don't want that might be preventing you from what you want to achieve, right? Like the social media checking all the time, and there are so many good ideas of how to deal with that. So, but talking about that, you're not in social media, right? Are you on Instagram or Facebook or something like that?
I am, but I don't really use it. So I use Instagram to look at watches and that's it. And okay. Coffee and coffee machines. That's it.
Okay, so coffee machines are one of your hobbies.
Yeah. Coffee machines are one of my hobbies. And I also like watches.
Do you have like a collection at home of coffee machines?
No. I have one coffee machine, like a really nice one that I'm happy with.
The one that actually makes coffee. It's not just
the one that makes espresso. Yeah. And cappuccino. So.
Okay. Well, that was great. I really enjoyed a lot of tips that you have to share. And in the end, I think that's what we are talking about. It's not that you have to do something special. You know, sometimes it happens to me that people invite me. You can follow me on LinkedIn, but people sometimes want to be in touch. So they invite me and they say something. And I'm like, are you a person or are you a bot? It feels like they start saying stuff in like, thank you for inviting me. I will appreciate this connection for this. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, sure, great. How are you? You know? And then I think people sometimes think that when you want to be a recognized person, let's say, you suddenly have to get into some other shoes that are not yours because that's what the society somehow expects, right? And that's not true at all. Like that won't long run, it won't work for you.
No, I agree. We're all people. And what I always try to remember, everybody. And this is not going to sound maybe very nice. Everybody shits on the toilet. We're all the same at the end of the day.
Yeah, even the Pope, right?
Yeah, exactly. Even the Pope. And you just see him sitting there, you know, having difficulty. You know, we all have that sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good one to finish this conversation. Thank you so much. And I can't wait for the book to come up. I would love to also have an interview with you, Martin, about the book and about the contents of it, so we can share more things with people. That's whenever you will be available. And have a great day.
Have an awesome day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.